Please take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Here in Revelation chapter 7, we saw a picture of worship that takes place in heaven. And then we also partially looked at a picture of worthwhile living. What does worthwhile living look like? We saw that the basis of worthwhile living is the blood. They had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you're going to have any worthwhile living in your life, it begins with salvation. And that can only take place through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that there's a battle involved in worthwhile living. Here, these people had gone through the great tribulation. And there was a great battle that took place. And we also are going to face a battle if we are going to live a worthwhile life. The Bible says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so worthwhile living, there's going to be a battle involved. But tonight I'd like us to see that there the blessedness of worthwhile living. Worthwhile living is a blessed life. And the blessedness of worthwhile living is dwelling in the presence of Christ. And we'll see that there's great privileges that go with being in the presence of Christ. And we're going to look at these four privileges tonight that go along with being in the presence of Christ. So the blessedness of worthwhile living. Yes, there's a battle involved, but there is blessed, great blessedness that goes along with dwelling in the presence of Christ. Here in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 15, well, let's begin in 14. It says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." So notice there the presence of Christ. They're before the throne of God. It says that he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with him. So dwelling here in the presence of God. In the presence, we'll see in verse 17, of the Lamb. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So we find here there's great blessedness in dwelling in the presence of God. Here these have gone through great tribulation. And what's the result? It says they're what? They are before the throne of God. Back in the book of Leviticus chapter 26, you know, there was a blessedness associated with those, with the Israelites as they were fulfilling the covenant that God had made with them, as they were following Him, as they were doing His will. It says here in verse number 3, it says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them," and he goes through a number of things. But notice verse number 11. It says, "And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people." There was a great blessing that Israel could enjoy. And what was that great blessing? Well, the blessing was the presence of God among them. Do we understand the great value in the presence of God? in Deuteronomy chapter 20, as they would approach a battle and they would see that they were facing an enemy that was greater than them, one that they would fear, one that could possibly bring fear into their lives. God instructs them, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, in verse number 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Here we see the great blessedness of the presence of God. You know, we're reminded as believers in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, what did Christ say? He said, And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Do we understand the blessedness of his presence? Here, as they were going to approach battle, they were to be reminded, don't be afraid. I'm with you. God said, I am with you. I'm going to defeat your enemies. And they could either go forward by faith or they could stop because of fear. You know, the first time as they were about ready to enter the promised land, what did they do? They stopped. They wanted to quit because of fear. And they did not go forward by faith. God had led them, he had prepared them for this time. He had shown them their power. He showed them what he could do. And God's presence was with them, but yet they did not go forward. Instead, they were fearful. Now I wonder tonight, what is hindering you from going forward by faith? Have you forgotten about the presence of Christ? You know how easy it is to be fearful in soul winning. You know, what's probably the greatest reason that we aren't the soul winners that we should be? Well, it's because of fear. And we look at Israel and we think, why didn't they go into the promised land? I mean, they crossed the Red Sea, all these different things happened to them. Why didn't they go forward? Why were they afraid? And yet, look at us. Why are we afraid? Why don't we witness like we ought to? We see here the blessedness of the presence of Christ. But there's four privileges that we're going to look at that go along with this blessedness. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 7. The first privilege that we see is the privilege of serving God. It says, Therefore they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. What's one of the privileges of being in God's presence? It's having the opportunity to serve him. One person stated, The heavenly life is not one of mere enjoyment, but of continued active service. Now, as we think of heaven, do we think of the privilege of being able to serve God? You know, my dad asked that question. You know, how many want a blessing? Well, I think most people maybe knew what he was asking about. You know, but in our humanness, we resist doing what? We resist raising our hand because we know, I mean, maybe he didn't know exactly what he was talking about, but you know there was some kind of what? Some kind of work involved with the blessing.
Amen.
And that's our human nature. We think serving, maybe there's, volunteer needed for something. And what does our flesh do? It resists that. But yet we think that through all eternity, what is going to bring great joy? It's going to be the opportunity to personally be able to serve God. You know, why will there be so much enjoyment in there? Well, obviously, we're going to understand from what maybe that we're going to have a new perspective on how much God did for us. All right, there's going to be that perspective that we're going to carry with us. Maybe it's not obvious, but it's something, our perspective is going to be changed. But I think, you know, one great reason is that we're not going to have the flesh. You know, what hinders us from thinking about the joy that we're going to have when we serve God? Well, it's the flesh. You know, then after you get done doing it, many times there's what? There's joy involved. You know, there's this song, there's joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way, joy that fills the heart with praises every hour and every day. There's joy in serving Jesus, joy that triumphs over pain, fills my soul with heaven's music till I join the glad refrain. There's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon his power, there's joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Then there's two other stanzas. You know, joy in serving Jesus. We sing the song, and after singing the song, where maybe what? There's some motivation. Hey, I need to serve God. But it's our flesh many times that gets in the way. But after we've served, the joy comes. After we get over that battle of the flesh, well, in heaven, there's not going to be that battle anymore with the flesh. We're going to be able to fully partake of that joy. So part of the blessedness of being in the presence of God is the privilege of serving God. And you know, the fact is, how can we, so to speak, have a heavenly home, if we want to use that term, or a place in which there's that blessedness? Maybe in the local church, when there's what? I mean, we have the opportunity right now to do what? To serve Christ, to serve God. And these people are before his throne serving him. You know, Christ said, you know, he's going to ask a question when, you know, people are going to ask a question, when did we, you know, when did we, I may be paraphrasing it, but when did we serve you? And he's going to say, when you did it to the least of one of these little ones. You know, we have the opportunity to help further God's work by maybe helping other believers out, by serving Christ, by serving others. And it brings what? It brings a blessedness. So we have a privilege. We need to see serving as a privilege. A great privilege of what? Having the presence, being in the presence of God. Secondly, the next privilege, we see there's the privilege of having your needs satisfied by God. The privilege of your needs being satisfied by God. Notice what it says in verse number 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. Here we find the privilege of your needs being satisfied by God. Christ said to the woman at the well that he had what? Living water. That would eternal, it would what? It would quench her thirst. She would never thirst again. We find that being in the presence of God, there's the privilege of your needs being satisfied. You know, if you have young children, and you know, maybe, you know, we have Samuel is young yet, can't really talk much. You know, but when he comes, you know, if I'm getting some water from the sink, you know, he knows what I'm doing, and if he's thirsty, he'll come up and he'll, you know, make some sort of noise. And, you know, letting you know that what? That he wants some water. And you can what? You can satisfy that need. You have the ability to. And, you know, being in the presence of God is the fact that we're in His presence, and He satisfies our needs. He has all of that ability. You know, when there's somebody around you, you know, if you had the opportunity, maybe you had $1 billion, you know, and you could walk down a poor section and you knew that the people weren't going to spend the money on drugs or throw it out to drinking, but it was people that were going to use the money responsibly. You know, wouldn't it be a fun thing just to be able to go down and meet these people's needs, you know, and hand out that money and do those types of things? Well, being in the presence of God is what? A place where He can bring satisfaction into our lives. God can do something in your heart and life that will never grow old. You know, if God can bring fulfillment and satisfaction to your life for all eternity, don't you think that He can do that for you right now? God's presence brings our needs being satisfied. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 2, what were the people doing? They were hewing themselves out broken cisterns that could hold no water. It says in Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You know, and how often are we going after things that are not going to satisfy? We think they're going to bring satisfaction, but that satisfaction quickly goes away. You know, young person, you're waiting for that Christmas morning, and there's that anticipation and that excitement. And then maybe you didn't get what you really wanted. You know, and now you're not satisfied. Well, even if you were satisfied by that present, that's only going to last what? Very temporarily, depending on, you know, what it is. And, you know, those presents are only going to last not so long. I was in the store the other day, and here was this young boy, and I don't know exactly what was happening, but I think he was kind of threatening his mom or whatever he was doing, that he was going to have a terrible Christmas or something. I don't know exactly, but sort of that idea that if she didn't buy him this thing, you know, and, you know, pretty soon, where's that thing going to be 10, 15 years from now? Probably in a landfill. Very likely it could be in a landfill. I don't know exactly what he's looking at, but going to be in the ground. And those things, they only bring temporary satisfaction. And we have to realize that our satisfaction comes by being in the presence of God and allowing Him to satisfy our needs. He knows exactly what we need. You know, if Samuel was there and he thought maybe I was getting water out of the faucet, but I was getting something else that would be bad for him to drink, he might be there saying, you know, doing the best he can to tell me he wants it. But am I going to give it to him? Well, obviously not. You know, sometimes we think there's something that we have to satisfy us. But God knows what is best. And He can perfectly satisfy all our needs. And that's what will be taking place in heaven for all eternity. He will perfectly satisfy our needs. Thirdly, we find that there is the privilege of being led by God. It says, "Shall feed them," verse 17, "and shall lead them unto living fountains of water." What a great privilege. Hebrews 13:20 says, refers to that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, "the shepherd and bishop of your souls." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What a great privilege of being in His presence is that we are what? We can be led by God. You know, each day, you know, something goes wrong. Well, maybe it wasn't something going wrong, but God was stopping you from going somewhere. Maybe God was leading you and you saw it as something negative, but if you knew what would have happened if you would have gone that direction, maybe you would understand and be relish and be thankful for the leading of God. He is the great shepherd. He led us to the Savior. This God led us to the great shepherd. And what a privilege to be led by God. What a privilege to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. So we find there's the privilege of being led. And fourthly, we find that there is the privilege of being comforted by God. It says in Revelation 7, verse 17, the end of the verse, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The privilege of being comforted by God. Think of that child crying that comes to his mother and wants that comfort. You know, and the mother maybe even wiping those tears off the child's eyes and comforting that child like maybe only the mother can do. And think of God as we get to heaven wiping, comforting, eternal comfort that comes from God. And you know, that comfort is available in the present. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 3, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, God provides comfort in this life. If we want that comfort, where do we need to be? Well, we need to be in His presence. And why does He give us that comfort? Well, He gives us that comfort not just for our own sakes, but that we can comfort others that may be going through similar things that we're going through. So we find here the fourth great privilege of being in the presence of God through all eternity is being comforted by God. What a great privilege. You know, maybe as a dad, you've experienced, you know, your child crying and you tried to comfort them and it didn't work. You know, and, you know, off to mom. And, you know, they stop crying. Or maybe it's you're another adult in the church and some, you know, child, and you're trying it and it just doesn't work. You know, one of their parents or someone that knows them. You know, God knows exactly what we need. And He's going to wipe what, you know, it shows the great love and concern. It says, and God shall what wipe away all tears from their eyes. That God would personally care for us that much, that He would stoop to those that He has created to wipe the tears away, to comfort them, that they might enjoy the glories of heaven. And you know, that comfort that is going to take place in eternity, we find in 2 Corinthians here, God is wanting to work in our lives in the present and bring that comfort. Dwelling in the presence of God. You know, what a great privilege. If you're saved tonight, are you availing yourself of the great privilege of being in the presence of God? Does it motivate you to want to get, so to speak, in His presence, to be in His Word so that God can minister to the needs that we have, and He is the one that can perfectly satisfy them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to see the great privilege of having Your presence with us. Lord, we think of what will take place in heaven someday. And Lord, what a great privilege we will have. And yet, Lord, You don't want to wait till we die, so to speak, to manifest yourself to us. That will be a fuller manifestation. Lord, even now, you want to make yourself real in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that in this world that is lusting after things, Lord, that will not bring satisfaction, that we will desire the one who can eternally satisfy our needs. Lord, may you work in our hearts. May you help us to understand the great privileges that you've given to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.